Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole. Dead air moments. Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't know how long you guys got, but I can sit. I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
What about sexually? What about sexually? Hey, do you know? Did I ever tell you about the time I bit a girl?
No.
Now I'm gonna tell you a story, a tale of wrong and right.
So this goes back a long time ago. I was on a trip with a buddy of mine. We went to I don't know that I should say where we went, but we went somewhere.
I'm here for the gangbang.
So long story short, we end up having relations at some point over the course of that weekend.
We're going freaky! Yeah.
And the girl says to me, you know, over the course of something. She says to me, well, how should I say this?
You gonna eat that?
What, that? No. Yes. No. Well, no, I crossed my mind. Yeah.
She says, bite so-and-so, such-and-such, okay?
But let me just quote the late, great Colonel Sanders, who said, I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
Okay. So, she asked for the bite.
Please, just do it for me.
I gave her the bite, right? She responds, ow!
Oh, nice marmot.
Like, what? Like, why would you ask me to bite this specific region? If you're, like, what did she expect?
That little prick.
I think she probably meant nibble, not bite.
You dumbass.
I think I know what I'm doing. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe that's my problem.
Sharks are like dogs. They only bite when you touch their private parts.
To the guy from the hamburger train,
humble. You see what happens? You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens? This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass, Larry.
That's awesome.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the fuck are you talking about?
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
All right, superstar, are you there?
I am here.
I have a bone to pick with you, first of all.
Go ahead, man.
Before we get into anything, welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Third Manian Radio here on this Monday night, April the 5th, 2010. It is 8:05 here in Chicago. The Third Manian Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. Now, Superstar, I don't think we talked about this on the show before. And, I mean, not that it's anyone's business in particular, but we're about to make it their business, or I am.
All right. I'm excited.
Now, like I said, I don't know that we've talked about this on the show before, but maybe in a roundabout way we have. You are in the process of getting ready for a major event between yourself and a woman, right?
I am getting married in October.
Okay. Now, see, on that part of the story, I don't have a problem with as much. Okay.
As much. Thanks.
Yeah. The thing that I do have a problem with, and then, like, let's give a little bit of backstory. Now, the bachelor party is obviously the major event here. It's much bigger than the end game. It's what makes everything else surrounding the wedding worth it, correct?
Well, being the one getting married, I would not like to agree with you, but I understand. I get where you're going with this, yes.
Being someone who's just going to have to stand up at the wedding and just sort of be there and hang around and just look altogether spectacular, I'd say that in order for it to make it worth it for me, there has to be a bachelor party.
Okay. Well, I would agree with that.
All right. Well, now, and of course, being your choice, you decided to go to the debauchery capital of America, at the very least, Las Vegas, Nevada.
I did.
Now, here's where I had to...
Knowing you would not have an issue with that aspect.
No. I mean, the problem with the whole Las Vegas thing is I have come to a point in my life where I realized that I can only do Las Vegas once a quarter.
Yeah, you know, getting old is a bitch, isn't it, Block?
Yeah. Okay. But the problem I have here, okay, now people listen to the Open, the Third Man In Radio Open every single week, and there's probably a couple of things that they can detect from there. One, I have a foul mouth.
Yes.
Okay. The computer has just agreed with me. And two, there's an awful lot of Soundgarden in the Open, right?
There is an awful lot of Soundgarden in the Open.
It was today. Now, I've known this for months, but it was today that Soundgarden confirmed that they will be playing at Lollapalooza, which just so happens to be Grant Park, Chicago, the same weekend as your little shindig out in Sin City.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I did not look up the Lollapalooza City of Chicago social calendar before I planned.
You didn't look at the calendar, I mean, at all, because your nuptials are... There is a great possibility that your nuptials will take place the same night as the Blackhawks' home opener in the 2010-11 season. A home
once
opener
again,
of which, in my life, at least once I was old enough to, you know, walk into games under my own power, I have never missed.
I will personally call the Blackhawks and the NHL to make sure that is not the home opener.
It is the Third Man In Radio. Chris Block here alongside my co-host, the Superstar, bad party planner. It is the Third Man In Radio. This week, aptly titled Anti-Radio, Anti-Niemi Fever is sweeping Chicago.
It is.
You got to hand it to the guy, actually. He had a really good weekend, did he not?
He did. He had a great weekend. Some phenomenal moments. I didn't think he was tested that much in New Jersey, other than the 5-on-3, which was, I believe, at the end of the second period. But once again, like we've said before, he makes the stops he should.
Well, I think you're thinking about the you're thinking about the Thursday or the Wednesday game because there were no penalties at all in the Friday game.
You are correct.
You're right when you're speaking of Wednesday's game, but let's concentrate on the games that have happened since we were last on the air. Friday night, no penalties during that game, and I thought Niemi played very, very well on Friday night, and gives up the early goal to Ilya Kovalchuk. Set a little bit of a breakdown defensively for the Blackhawks. Eddie Olczyk played the whole thing on Dustin Byfuglien. Maybe sort of, but other than that, I thought Niemi was very, very good in that game. I wouldn't say great, but I mean very, very good. And obviously, he came through in the shootout. Yesterday at the United Center, Sunday at the United Center. I see. This is my problem with the Calgary Flames. I watched too much Calgary Flame hockey last week. And I know that we have listeners in Calgary and greater Alberta, at least the Calgary area. I would like them to email me. I don't know if any of you are listening live, but I want them to email me and explain to me how they do it. I mean, the Calgary Flames, they played okay on Friday night in Colorado in the game that they won, but I mean, gosh, I mean, I'm sitting there watching that game, and I'm thinking to myself, like, they beat Colorado. I mean, they beat the Avalanche that night, but I'm thinking to myself, like, they've got to play so much better to even compete with the Blackhawks, and they didn't. And you know, I couldn't. I got up out of my seat at yesterday's game, and I said, screw it, I cannot watch this team play anymore. So I want to know how people in Calgary are doing it, because I can't.
Is it a case of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? Because, yeah, for a team that needed every point, they had nothing.
Well, they have nothing. That's the problem. I mean, that's the team that Daryl Sutter has built. They have nothing. You know, I mean, people are getting on Jerome McGinley. I think it's unnecessary. It's unwarranted. Who's his center? Matty Stajan? Craig Conroy skates with him every once in a while. What is that? I was talking to somebody yesterday at the United Center. It's like, I don't think that Jerome McGinley needs a Brad Richards or a Sidney Crosby to set him up every night. I think he needs, like, I think a perfect guy for him would be like a Mike Ribeiro and Dallas Stars, Blackhawks will see tomorrow night. I don't think he's going to make unrestricted free agency. At least it doesn't look like it as of the moment. But Thomas Plekanec in Montreal, he needs a guy like that, a guy with really good hands, B-plus to A passing ability, but just someone to get him the puck with speed. I mean, Jerome McGinley trying to take the puck end-to-end or at least from the center line in and make his own move and then shoot, he's got a terrific shot. He has to do everything himself, and I don't think he's ever been that kind of player. He's been able to do it from time to time, but, you know, I mean, that team's got so many problems. And, Daryl Sutter's not going to be the one to fix them. You know,
no, that was the next question I had for you. You think it's Sutter and Sutter going bye-bye?
I don't know about Brent. I mean, Brent's got a huge contract, but Daryl's gone for sure. You know, and Brent's still got. I would say that Brent's still got another year. I don't think that you have to. I mean, there's a lot of other Sutter, you know, and Sutter loyalists in that front office. I mean, Dwayne is in there. I believe Rich is in the front office there. I mean, I think you get rid of some of those guys. You know, send all those guys back to the farm, but. I don't know. Brent, I think, has in the past proven himself to be a good coach. I think there's a time limit on him, but there's going to be a lot of pressure in Calgary next year to compete and make the playoffs again. And they're not getting rid of Jerome McGinley, so you know you're going to have to try to put some semblance of a playoff contender around him. But I mean, this team that they have on the ice right now is not it. I mean, this is, you know, scraps from the Toronto Maple Leafs, a couple of, you know, dopes from the old Ranger team. And I mean, these guys have something to prove, and they're playing for, and they're playing for jobs for next year. And, you know, I mean, over the course of a whole season, that's going to be a really bad team. I mean, it was bad last night.
Well, there was a lot of talk earlier in the year about Iginla going bye-bye.
Nah, not seriously. I mean, I suggested that if they, you know, that the Flames just scrap everything. I suggested this, I don't know, I think it was in the end of January that they scrap the whole, it had to be at the end of January that they, it was, I mean, it was like a week before Kovalchuk got traded to the Devils. But I suggested that they start overhauling that team and trade Iginla and put some sort of package together, even if it included Iginla. And I was going with the whole Jerome Iginla in Atlanta thing. But for Ilya Kovalchuk, and just start rebuilding that team. That team needs an overhaul. It needs a new image. I don't think, I mean, it's Calgary, so you're going to sell out games and everything. People are going to go. There's going to be interest there. But that, I don't think that team, the way it's been constructed and the way they've tried to win hockey games, I don't think you can sell that in Calgary anymore.
I don't either. And I think it's very, you know, and the other piece of that puzzle, that major piece there is Kiprusoff. And, you know, while at times he's been unbelievable.
Well, he was great coming into the United Center yesterday. I mean, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have beat Colorado. Now, Colorado, there's a couple things with Colorado that are problems. I mean, Colorado is really young. They're at the end of a very long, stressful NHL season for a lot of these young kids, Matt Duchene, Ryan O'Reilly. It's a lot more to endure than you have to at the junior ranks or in college. So you got that. They've slid, and now they're having to hold on, so there's that extra pressure. The Colorado players, the young guys anyway, are admitting that they're nervous and they're feeling the pressure, and you could see it in their game. They had a lot of opportunities against Calgary on Friday night, and they just didn't capitalize on some of them. Kiprusoff made some great saves. He was the reason why they won that game. But, it's just interesting because, I didn't read the whole thing, but I skimmed through it to make sure that I understood what his point was. Mike Kiley today on ChicagoNow.com wrote an article basically sort of suggesting that if you were to choose who would be the best first-round opponent for the Blackhawks, he chose the L.A. Kings over the Colorado Avalanche. Now, I want to know, is Mike Kiley watched hockey in the last 2 months? Because Colorado is, if you want to see a team go out for four straight games or in five, it's going to be the Colorado Avalanche, whether it's to the Hawks, whether it's to the Sharks. They look like a team that is ready. I mean, they've hit the wall and they're ready to go. And Craig Anderson is bad. He's got terrible body language. It's obvious that he's exhausted. They didn't play Peter Budaj enough this season. And, it's obvious that Craig Anderson's exhausted. And it's hit him mentally. And, he's not going to save any – I just don't see him winning them games in the playoffs the way he's playing right now. He looks like a goaltender that is physically and mentally worn, and that's a terrible combination a week before playoffs, and they don't even know that they're going to make the playoffs just yet. It looks like they are. Of course, Calgary comes in here yesterday, shits the bed. The Avalanche actually beat the Sharks last night, did they not?
They did.
I remember seeing it. I was a little inebriated. Beat them in overtime, 5-4. John Michael Lyles, good thing he's done all year. He got the game winner, but if the Blackhawks had to choose who they would play in the first round, obviously it would be the Avalanche. It would be the Avalanche or the Flames. I mean, the Flames cannot beat the Blackhawks, period. It won't happen. And I just don't see, you know, and Mike Kiley, again, Mike Kiley citing overtime and, you know, and shootout games. It's like, come on, Mike. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, the Blackhawks won, you know, beat New Jersey in a shootout the other night, but I'll take it because of the come from behind, you know, tying the game with 26 seconds left. You know, I'll take that. I'll take the 2 points there. But because normally I don't put any stock at all in shootout wins, but I think Friday night the Blackhawks, you know, deserve the 2 points, and they can take them just based on the fact that they hung in there all game. Niemi played really, really well. And, you know, Versteeg gets that goal late, and then, you know, Taves wins it in the shootout. But I don't think you can put any stock in games that the Blackhawks played against the Avalanche early in the season. And I suspect that we're going to see – I don't think you're going to see Cristobal Huue at the United Center on Wednesday. It's already been said that Niemi's going to play tomorrow night in Dallas. He's playing a kid, too. Turco and Lehtinen aren't going to play tomorrow night. They're playing his name escapes me right now. By the way, now today I at lunch I sat and I speed wrote notes, you know, Superstar, because I try. I really do.
You do a very good job at trying to put something down on paper for us.
Yeah, but I'm completely unreliable because I in my rush to get out of work tonight, I left them under my desk.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, as we talked about right before we went on, I was actually on my way home from a work function, and as I approached my apartment, I had realized that I did not have my keys. Luckily, the woman of my life happened to be walking into the building at the same time and gracefully let me in. So I know all about leaving shit at work.
Matt Kleine is going to be making his 2009-10 debut. He had 3 starts last season in the final week of the season for the Dallas Stars, and he went 2-1 in that stretch, defeating he defeated St. Louis and Colorado at Colorado, but lost in Minnesota. So Matt Kleine tomorrow night the Blackhawks are going to face. So they should. He's not a young guy. He's actually 27 years old, out of Leduc, Canada, Alberta. But so that's that.
Well, it's a guy who's young, just coming in. Definitely a guy you'd like to see the Hawks come in, gain some confidence, you know, possibly put up a 5, 6, 7 spot on him. You know, whether that's going to happen or not, but just something to get this team a little bit more confident going into this final 5-4-3 game stretch and into the playoffs.
Yeah, but back to what I was saying before. So I think that you're going to see Niemi tomorrow. I can't see them playing Huue at home. Like I said last week or last Thursday night, when we returned from our 1-month-long sabbatical, I mean we're on pace. Much like Albert Pujols, we're on pace to do some serious damage the rest of the season.
We are.
I won't forget. We got to get to the third man in Fantasy Hockey League in just a moment. It wrapped up yesterday. It was an unfortunate result.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, I think that, in my opinion, like we've gone over before, for those of you who listen to the show, for those of you who don't, go back and listen to the shows, for Christ's sake. You're not doing anything worthwhile anyway. I think that Quenneville needs to make up for lost time here and start playing. I mean, just play Niemi throughout the rest of the season. I mean, it's not going to hurt anything. You got to build up his stamina, let him experience everything, every possible moment that he can the rest of the season to get him prepared for playoffs. We talked about it the other night. Last week was only the second time this season the other being the two games immediately before the Olympic break that Antti Niemi had played back-to-back nights. Now, there's going to be an occasion, at least one occasion in the postseason, probably in the first round, where the Blackhawks play back-to-back nights. So you're not going to play Antti Niemi one night, Cristobal Huey the next night, just because. You're going to play your number one goalie. And right now, without question, no matter what, I mean, if Quenneville will say it or not, he's been saying it with his actions since before the Olympic break, Antti Niemi is his number one goalie. He's the guy that's going to be playing in the playoffs until, you know, he blows up. But in my opinion, a good coach, like Mike Babcock, would play him just throughout the rest of the season. Forget about Huey. My opinion, the only way to salvage Huey at this point is to let him stew on the bench. And then if Niemi does blow up in the playoffs, you've got a guy that's been sitting there angry and he's got himself refocused. If you keep giving him chances at this point, I think that you can only do harm. Because if he comes in and he plays decently, then what does that really do for him? I mean, if he comes in and stands on his head and he shuts somebody out, what does that do to Antti Niemi? You know, it starts getting him thinking like, oh, my God, if I give up one or two, they're going to go back to Huey. So I think you just let Niemi play. If he gives up three goals, it doesn't matter. If he gives up four goals and wins, it doesn't matter. Let him get every experience possible. Let him know that he's the guy. He's not looking over his shoulder. He's not giving up three goals in the first period and looking at the bench expecting to be pulled, because that'll happen in the playoffs. So give up three goals in a period. You can't have him looking at the bench. You know, let him know. Have him understand. Not just have the coach say it. I mean, the actions have got to speak here. There's got to be a definitive understanding between him and the coach that he's the guy. Don't look over here after you give up a goal. Don't sit, you know, after a game and expect it because, you know, you've played four in a row that we're going back to Huey. You're the guy. Just like Detroit did with Jimmy Howard. And look what it turned into. You got Jimmy Howard and Antti Niemi. It appears as though similar ability and on the same kind of pace as far as their performance. It's just that Jimmy Howard started 2 months in a row without interruption, and now he's ready for the postseason. And Antti Niemi is sort of been, you know, whisking in the wind here. And you know, we'll see how that turns out for Joe Quenneville. But there's no reason to play Huey the rest of the season. But I do expect him. That being said, I do expect Joe Quenneville to play him on Friday night in Colorado. Just because Joe Quenneville is on a serious roll of stupid decisions.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week of how many games we thought Huey was going to get, and we
you said two.
I mean, I said two or three. Doesn't appear.
Well, they only have four games left. You said two.
Yeah, and it doesn't appear two is going to happen.
If it's two, then you're. I mean, basically, it would have to be Wednesday and Sunday, which is two home games, which I just don't see that happen. I mean, I don't think that Joe Quenneville, I don't think he's going to go there. I would be shocked if I walked into the United Center on Wednesday night and Cristobal Huey is the first one off the ice in warmups. I would be shocked. I would say that I would do something, but I would say something outlandish, and then people would hold me to it.
And well, of course, we all would.
But yeah, that's what's going on. You know, I want to get to a few things here. We got to roll some things off, and I also tonight's show. I want to, like we did on Thursday night, I want to get kind of caught up on some of these you know, I don't know, media, you know, mid-level topics and discussions that were going on while we were gone last month. But first things first. Now we talked about, and I want to get this over quickly, but the beginning of last week's show, or Thursday night show, we talked about how we didn't understand that how people could read and listen on their head to whatever they're listening to on their headphones on the train at the same time.
Yeah, the multi-ignoring tasking thing.
The ultimate. What did you call it? The ultimate fuck you. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah,
the ultimate, you know, go away freak or jerk or whatever I said. Yeah.
Creep, I think it was.
Creep. You're right. Yeah. Creep.
Yeah. Don't even think about it, you creep. Okay. A lot of people, and I couldn't even believe this. Now, because we talk about random shite all the time, right?
We do.
We do. Okay. I couldn't believe the amount of reaction we got to this. Now, a lot of people, like, not a lot of people, but like a few people were like, you know, they agreed with us. They didn't understand how this goes on, and they were sharing recent experiences with me. And that's great. I love being shared with. That's fine. But also, a couple of people, like, basically calling us out as stupid that we, like, to think that we couldn't do both at the same time. I stand by it. I don't know how I couldn't be expected to listen to Soundgarden and read To Kill a Mockingbird at the same time.
No, there's no way.
No, there's no way that's happening. And I'm not reading To Kill a Mockingbird again. I barely read it the first time I had to read it in school, and I'm not going back there. I'll watch the movie. I'll probably fall asleep during that, too, just like I did the San Jose game last night. But anyway, I think the most two people had said, passed along, that they think that these people are listening to, or maybe not all of them, but some people like to listen to instrumental music, and it it calms them, it soothes them, and it gets them into the frame of mind to read a book.
I guess I could see that.
If you're in an elevator and you're listening to elevator music, does that get you pumped up to do stuff?
No.
I guess I could see it, but I'm still not buying it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I could see the instrumental thing, I guess. All right, the third man in Fantasy Hockey League. Now, the third man... Now remember back to late September what happened with the whole third man in fantasy draft, right, Superstar? You were there.
I was in one of three.
Anyway, remember that this was the third man in fantasy hockey draft where three people showed up, but there were other people that were there that didn't even know that there was a draft going on, and then came up to us afterwards as they were leaving and said, "Oh, hey, you know, I was here for the draft." And I'm like, it would have been nice if you came over so it looked like we had more people. It wouldn't have been so embarrassing.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but, I mean, it won't be the last time I embarrass myself somewhere.
No. Just watch out for you at the United Center this week.
Anyway, third man in the inaugural third man in Fantasy Hockey League wrapped up yesterday, and it came down to yours truly, Chris Block. Now, how did you finish in this tournament now, Superstar?
I'm just looking. I believe I finished eighth.
Oh, do you have it in front of you? Because I'm having a little computer issues.
I do. I finished eighth, but to my defense, once I wasn't in the championship side of the playoffs, I didn't pay attention at all.
Did you not pay attention just so you could say at the end of the season when you finished last or eighth or whatever, like it was your excuse that you finished eighth?
No. By no means am I making an excuse that I finished eighth as an excuse for not paying attention, but. Once I did realize that I wasn't in the championship side of the playoff bracket, I was in the consolation bracket, I didn't pay attention to it at all. At all.
You're so competitive.
I am. You know, if I'm out of it, screw it. You know.
In every league, I was in three leagues this year, and every league that I was in, I was competitive to the very end. I wanted to win. Even in the league that I was in a battle for fifth place, I wanted to win that fifth place. damned if I was going to be beaten for that fifth place.
To my defense, though, I didn't even realize we had a consolation bracket until, like, yesterday.
I know. That's one thing I don't like about Yahoo. Like, the consolation rounds, like, for the people that finished, like, really bad, like, in category really bad, like, for some reason, it gives them a week off. I mean, there's no reason to delay those games. But Yahoo does, and it's the second year in a row they did that. And it really aggravated me. Because then you got to email everybody a reminder, and I don't have time to do that.
Yeah,
you might have to get
a new
third man in commissioner.
Yeah. So to my defense, I didn't even realize there was a consolation bracket until it was ending, and by then I was like, yeah, whatever.
But anyway, the result of the tournament, congratulations are in order to Lane, whose Crease Monkeys, like that name.
I do too.
Crease Monkeys are the inaugural third man in Fantasy Hockey League grand champions, defeating, I don't know who these guys are, the Doppelgangers, 9-3.
The Doppelgangers.
Yes. Chris Block was defeated in his own league for the championship, 9-3, an outstanding score.
You know, to your defense, Block, I want to congratulate you for just getting there because I didn't think that was going to even happen.
I know. I finished in the regular season. I finished in fifth place, and I destroyed the first place team. And then I got to the finals, and goaltending did me in. I had a Marty Turco line in the championship game. 3.37 goals against, 8.66 save percentage to the Crease Monkeys, 1.18 goals against and 0.955 save percentage. Two shutouts. How am I going to beat that?
You're not. That's why you lost 9-3.
Yeah, Tuukka Rask and Henrik Lundqvist did me in. Of course, it didn't help when the one game last week that Jose Theodore played really well. I forgot to update my guys, but it wasn't going to matter because I didn't win enough offensive categories to get even close. So, congratulations once again to Lane. Now, also, see, this is the other reason why I need to bring this up, and I need to email Lane, but maybe get that to that at some point. Hopefully, he's listening, so maybe I don't have to do it. I did say, and you can back me up on the superstar. Maybe I didn't say it. I did say. I remember saying the beginning of when we did this that there would be a prize. I didn't know what the prize would be, but I'd figure it out, right?
You did. That's almost exactly what you said.
Yeah. Well. All right. I'm true to my word, and I was thinking about this on Saturday actually. It was run through my mind, and I was like, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, it's very simple. So this goes out to Lane. Your prize, if you choose to claim it, would be, and I know that Lane isn't in the immediate Chicago area, but I know he's close. I believe he's close. Two tickets of your choice, the game of your choice, to any Chicago Blackhawks home game next season, aside from opening night. Maybe a slight possibility of it being opening night if Superstar's wedding falls on opening night, but I can't guarantee it. But any other game, two tickets, prime seating, at least I would call it prime seating, in the 300 level, of your choice to a Blackhawks game, I won't even charge you the Ticketmaster fees because there really are none.
Wow, look at that. That's a solid prize.
Yes.
That's
or if
that's...
Lane doesn't have any friends and he just wants to go to the game with me, that'd be even better.
Maybe he wants to go to the game with me, ass.
Yeah, you go with Superstar. Maybe he does. Maybe you're his favorite. I don't know.
Then, see, to me, that would be the ultimate kick in the face. Not only do you lose to him in the finals, but instead of taking you or one of his friends to the game, he takes me.
Somehow I don't think that's happening.
No, but I think Lane would automatically be kicked out of the league for next year. Congratulations,
oh,
you won. You're not coming back.
I would hold no grudge. All right. It does look like the Blackhawks are going to end up playing the Los Angeles Kings in the first round of the playoffs, getting underway either Wednesday or Thursday of next week at the United Center, of course. What do you think about that, Superstar?
I don't know. I still stand by that. I don't think this team is playing. While it's playing better, I don't have much confidence of them beating anybody. They struggle out in LA, as they have for a couple of years. So if they are going to advance, they better jump out to a 2-0 lead.
I mean, I'd agree with that. See, here's my problem with the Los Angeles Kings matchup, and this is why, another reason why I took umbrage with Mike Kiley's, the normally brilliant Mike Kiley, but today not so much. One thing about the LA Kings is they're the one team that can match the Blackhawks straight up the middle and are probably a tad bit better up the middle than the Hawks are. The Red Wings can probably claim that as well. If they're not, if they split Zetterberg and Datsyuk, which they will. But for the Kings, I think they're quite underrated up the middle. You got Anze Kopitar, of course, Jarrett Stoll on the second line, and that's a very good second line. Jarrett Stoll, Ryan Smith, and Justin Williams. They've been playing together a lot lately. And then their third unit is particularly interesting because you've got Michael Hanzus, who is very underrated still. Some Blackhawks fans that were with us before the bandwagon got running would remember him from actually Martin Havlat's first season when those two clicked for the first seven or eight games of the season before Hanzus went down for the year. And then, of course, he didn't re-sign. But Michael Hanzus is their third-line center. He's a big, physical guy who's got skill, who's playing with Dustin Brown and Frederick Modin. Now, if Frederick Modin can remain healthy, that's a terrific third line. And then, your fourth-line center is, again, another guy who's pretty underrated, Jeff Halpern. The L.A. can do with the Blackhawks – claim to do, which is roll four lines with confidence. I think the LA Kings can do that. I think the thing that the Kings would get in trouble, though, and one of the reasons why I don't think they're going to have to do it is because even in the case of Anze Kopitar, all four of their centers are very aware defensively. So I don't think that the Kings are going to have to get wrapped up in matchups, line versus line. In fact, I think it would be a huge mistake and to do that against the Blackhawks, because it almost sets you on your heels. You can't be reactive to the Blackhawks. You have to be proactive. I mean, that's the way you attack a team their idea is to attack all the time. If you don't have any pushback, if you're not trying to, do the same thing to them, they're going to run over you. I don't think you can sit back and wait for the Blackhawks to make mistakes. If Dustin Byfuglien's going to be on the blue line, if Nick Boynton's going to be on the blue line in the playoffs, there'll be mistakes. Heck, Duncan Keith makes two or three, big ones a game. But still, I just don't think that a team, especially the Los Angeles Kings, can win that way. I think if they roll four lines and they just – they try to play that physical game with the Blackhawks because they'll be able to do that. The two guys that we spoke of last week, Wayne Simmonds and Dustin Brown, the great Dustin Brown. Longtime listeners of the show would know what, great love for Dustin Brown. You know, I mean, those are two guys that are going to cause havoc in a series for the Blackhawks. Justin Williams, another an underrated guy, who, you know, offensively will make that second line go with Jarrett Stahl and Ryan Smith. To me, I just see the only question that I would have about the Kings is Jonathan Quick going to run out of gas? Same thing like that has happened to Craig Anderson. Is this last week or so that Quick has sort of been given time to recharge the batteries, is that going to be enough? Is he ready to play in the playoffs the way he was playing in November and December and January? Because, against the Blackhawks, obviously, this is a Blackhawks team that's struggled a bit offensively of late. But it's still a Blackhawks team with Taves and Kane and Hossa and Sharp. They're going to score goals. They're going to score a bunch of them, most likely. So can Quick be the Quick that we saw before? But, I mean, to me, it's aside from maybe Nashville, I think that it's the most dangerous matchup that the Blackhawks can see in the first round of the realistic ones that they can see. Because it's obvious they're not going to play. They're not in danger of seeing Detroit now. Unless something crazy happens this last week, they're not going to see Detroit. And thank God for that. You know, if you have any idea or any hopes of the Blackhawks going deep into the playoffs, because like I said last week, I if all things being equal, healthy and all that, I don't see the Blackhawks. That's the one team I don't see the Blackhawks beat.
No, I don't either. Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, Block, and this is something you would know. Does the NHL reseed after each round?
No.
No, they don't. Okay, I didn't think so, but, you know, my memory is off.
No.
So, but even finishing in the number two spot, which they're 1 point away from guaranteeing doing, you would obviously have the number seven seed, and then the winner of the 4-5 seed, correct?
I'm trying to pull it up to follow along with you because you're losing me.
I guess my point is they're going to be on the other side of the Western Conference from San Jose and Detroit in the playoffs.
Right. As of today, as of the moment, San Jose would face Colorado, Blackhawks in L.A., Vancouver and Detroit, which is going to be, if that's the way it shakes out, it definitely does look like that's the way it's going to happen. Although Detroit does have a game in hand on Nashville, it could end up being Phoenix and Detroit. That's the first round series that I would just love to see. Phoenix and Nashville, again, the way it is right now. So basically let's just handicap it. San Jose, Colorado, San Jose isn't long for the playoffs just because they're not. Nabokov looks horrible.
And
they have Joe Thornton. So, I mean, sooner or later, whether it's the first round, the second round, San Jose is going to be gone. Blackhawks, I think it's a tougher series for them than a lot of people would believe, but they win that series. Okay. Vancouver-Detroit, if that's the way it shakes down, Detroit wins that series. So what you're looking at, the lowest seed that wins, or that's still available, and again, the Blackhawks have a game in hand on San Jose, because the Blackhawks are very well finished first still. But let's just go the way it is now. If Detroit wins, and it doesn't matter who wins, Phoenix or Nashville, it'll end up being San Jose, Detroit, and then Chicago, the winner of Phoenix and Nashville, which is the way the Blackhawks would prefer it to happen. Because, again, you don't want to see the Red Wings, or if it's San Jose or if it's Vancouver, you don't want to see those teams until the conference finals.
Right. I guess my point was that as of right now, the way it shapes up, of the three teams, to me, like you said, that you do not want to face, San Jose, Vancouver, Detroit, they're only going to have to face one of them, and that'll be in the conference finals.
Right.
Right. So it does shape up pretty well if they can get through that first round.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Nashville or Phoenix, but I think those are obviously lesser teams than Vancouver, Detroit, San Jose. That's the side of the bracket you want to be at.
Well, the Blackhawks are actually, the way you just put it, which is fine, but the Blackhawks, in the way that we just handicapped it a minute ago, is actually where they want to be, because it puts San Jose in a position where they would have to play the wings, and that's how you get one of those two teams out. You
right.
See what I'm saying? So if the Blackhawks if the Blackhawks end up in first, there's still the potential that they'd have to play both of those teams.
Right. That's what I was going for. The number two slot is actually a lot more appealing to them than the number one slot, just the way the rest of the conference is shaped up.
So maybe that's why the Blackhawks will put Niemi in that place this week, Superstar.
No, you mean Huey.
Or Huey, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe that's the reason why they've sucked for the last month and a half.
I don't know. Did you see any Tiger Woods today?
I did not.
I was peeking at it while I was having lunch and writing the notes that I forgot to bring to the studio. Everything that I said nice about him when he did his original press conference, I take back.
Oh, that good, huh?
Yeah, he was a non-answering bastard today.
Yeah, just dodging questions left and right.
Yeah, I think, you know, he talked too long, you know, and he opened himself up to questions, but he wouldn't answer questions, you know. And I don't know this, but I've heard that it was a very carefully credentialed press conference. So, you know, it was supposed to play into his hands, and even so, he came off looking like an idiot.
Well, I don't. Unfortunately for him, I don't know if unfortunate is the word I'd use, but it's really going to be really hard to come off not looking like an idiot.
The highlight of the whole thing was he was trying to get you to believe. He's pushing across the idea that he'll be a better golfer now, as well as a better person. Because he was, you know, he wasn't happy in all that time. You know when he, when he was banging everything that moved in front of him.
Yes.
You know, okay. He was trying to get across the idea that he wasn't happy, that it was a bad time in his life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Being a billionaire married to a Swedish supermodel, that's a real tough gig.
Yeah. And you know, and you're on the road all the time. You got a different woman in each city, and you know, and he's just miserable.
Yeah,
I would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, there's two things. The one guy was making fun of him. You know, that his punishment of having to go back to work is going to play golf. You know, every day.
It's gotta be miserable being a billionaire golf superstar, or it's gotta be miserable being the Blackhawks' third line center. That too.
Yeah,
I mean it's just gotta be a horrible life.
Oh yeah.
I mean I wish I could go back and I could have concentrated on a sport and had the life that those guys have, because I want to be miserable too.
Yeah. Well, and like somebody brought up to me, you're only when you're in a position like that, you're only going to be as faithful as your options.
Wait a minute, Superstar. I don't know, but I just I we have you know, sort of live interaction here. I just was.
You have live interaction that you're going to hang up on?
No. Was that just a John Madden reference in all of that just happened there, like that we just discussed or I just discussed?
Yeah.
Putting up for the judges. So you say that was a John Madden reference?
Yeah, I say definitely John Madden reference.
Okay, because you know what happens when we have, well, first of all, it's too bad that Dion Phaneuf got traded because we could have had a lot of this today.
Sloppy seconds!
But we still have John Madden. And for every John Madden reference, which is probably the perfect time for me to do this. Superstar, the third man in radio, is brought to you by our fine, wonderful, understanding sponsors. Pretty Girls Massage Spa. Ooh, yeah. Pretty Girls Massage Spa at 4906 West Irving Park Road in Chicago, just a block west of Milwaukee and Cicero there on Irving Park Road. The phone number to call is 773-545-9588. You can go in there and get yourself all rubbed up. You know, if you're like Block and you've thrown out your back recently and you want to go in there and get all, maybe a little adjustment. Things moved in, you know, a little bit this way and a little bit that. Pretty Girls Massage Spa, 4906 West Irving Park Road, 773-545-9588 in Chicago. Pizza and pasta, damn it. Might have to go there after the show. Chicago's Pizza and Pasta, you can go to the website. There's a bunch of locations, but just go to the website, chicagos-pizza.com. Fantastic selection of deep dish and thin crust pizzas, and the menu. I'm just looking at the menu right now, and there's so many things. You can get the veggie pizza.
Yeah, you're a big fan of the sandwiches, too.
I am. So let's call the gourmet pizzas, like the pesto lover's pizza, the Grecian delight. You could go simple, like the four cheese pizza. You can go. You can get the Nikki's Creation Salad. How about that? But yes, you get paninis, you got wraps, you get chicken primavera, shrimp linguine, fettuccine. It's a lot of Italian stuff. It's great. Chicagos-pizza.com. Check it out.
Yeah, all right, sorry. Well, have you had barbecue chicken pizza?
Barbecue chicken pizza? No.
Highly recommend it.
You know, I do want to say, yesterday at the United Center, I don't know the Amish customs, but there were an awful lot of Amish walking around the 300 level last night, and I just got to say that. It's an observation I made after my 10th year.
A lot of Amish at the United Center.
Because, again, the Calgary Flame drove me from my seat. They are appalling. It didn't help that Rene Bourque.
Maybe that's why you lost the third man in championship game. Did you start Rene Bourque?
I don't have him in that league. I'm in the championship in another league, and I did reacquire him. And he's still healthy, which it astonishes me.
So the question I have is if the leagues will be over by next week, but how much would the Blackhawks fans pay you to drop your entire team and pick up the entire Los Angeles Kings roster?
I don't think I got enough time. I have Dustin Brown. Because I have Dustin Brown in every league that I play in.
And why wouldn't you?
He's my man crush. Speaking of man crushes, Grady Sizemore really bit me in the ass today.
A tough one for you, huh?
I mean, I'm gonna tell people's story. I'll be talking about fantasy hockey a little bit before. Of course, the fantasy baseball started today, and we're doing the you know, the old rotisserie thing. You know,
we are.
Well, I sat down this morning. I got up real early this morning because I knew that I had to set my fantasy baseball lineup. And much like in hockey, I think the best way to go about it is to take a day like Monday and just set the whole week, right? Well, fantasy baseball is, you know, I haven't done it in a couple of years, and I did a superstar. I got like a month and a half into the season. I realized it was horrible, and then I quit. So at the end of the season, I could say, well, it was bad, but I honestly quit months ago. But I sat there, and I was formulating my lineup and starting all the guys that I needed to, and then paying close attention to who was going to, you know, the starting pitchers and getting relievers in there on the days it was supposed to. I swear to God, this whole process, superstar, two bowel movements.
It is a lot more work than it should be.
Yeah. I'm going to do my best. It's a war of attrition, but I mean, this is going to kill me. I mean, this is a headache that I don't need.
If it makes you feel any better, Block, I didn't realize. We had our draft a while ago, you know, and I didn't realize till the Cub game, so it was, you know, after the early game, that I forgot to set my lineup. So it's opening day, and I'm already forgetting to set my lineup for fantasy baseball.
So opening day was more than halfway over, and you didn't realize that these games meant for real.
Right. Paid no attention to it at all until about 3:45 Central Time. But for some reason, I'm still leading the
league. You ever go to Lashit's Inn on April 20th? We were in there one night, and we were completely unaware of it. We were completely unaware of it. Lashit's Inn on April 20th? We were completely unaware of it.
Rolling doobies!
Now we got a programming update. Now, first of all, two brand new sponsors are about to join the show. Do you know that, Superstar?
I do now.
They're so excited that we're actually committed to doing programming that they're ready to jump on board. Not just yet, though. Next week, probably. Next week, we're going to be doing radio on Tuesday. Oh, we can't do it. Can you do it Tuesday night?
I can now do it on Tuesday night.
Is that because...
Christ, actually, no, I cannot. I cannot do next Tuesday night. Monday and Wednesday. I know I'm an ass. The whole process is over. Fully fledged member of the Catholic Church, and proud of it. Damn it.
That's a good question. Did you go to mass?
Yes, we did. Well, we did not go on Sunday because we did the Saturday night Easter Vigil, and it was a pretty amazing thing to watch and to take part of. So it was long. It was 2 hours, but it was pretty amazing.
You sound like a gay.
I know I do, but we do have a couple of Tuesday night admin things to finish up. And next Tuesday is one of them.
Okay. Well, stay tuned. We'll have to find out when we're doing the next show, then. I don't know. Maybe I'll get some celebrity guest or something for next Tuesday night.
If you want to postpone it to, like, 9:15, I'm more than willing to do that.
That's an option. All right, we'll get back. You know, I still have a package for you, Superstar. If you want to swing by on Wednesday and maybe pick it up, I could do that for you.
Anytime Blocks is using a package for you, and you don't know what it is,
I'm always sending packages to people, Superstar.
I know you are.
Yeah, I'm a big package guy.
You are a big package guy.
So speaking of big package guys, Graham James was news came to light, was pardoned by the Canadian government. Can you believe that?
No.
Next thing you know, it will be completely legal for gross perverts to fondle adolescent young men in Canada.
Well, it's kind of, you know, I kind of always thought of it as a rite of passage up there, but apparently not.
You can drink when you're 19, and you can fondle unsuspecting young men and, you know, as much as you want, and you could live a full life. I don't know. You know, the reason why it came to me, I wanted to bring this up, is because I haven't attempted to do this because obviously we haven't been on the air, so it wouldn't make sense. And you know, but I should still effort Theo, and we'll get him on at some point. I know Theo is a very busy man, which was the whole problem to begin with. But I mean, this is extending the Theo Fleury book tour, no doubt. So and I want to get him on to talk about the book anyway. But yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because it's obviously newsworthy. All right, while we were gone, okay, and I wanted to bring this up the other night, but we didn't have time. Something that really, really just completely aggravated me. I don't know if you know what it is, Superstar.
No, I don't, but I'm sure you're about to enlighten us.
Well, there's it was after the Blackhawks' most recent home game against the Detroit Red Wings, which was the most recently a month ago.
5-4 overtime loss, I believe.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, it's to me, I don't know, but basically what happened was there's a Detroit sports writer that after that game wrote that watching, or I don't know if he was at the game or if he was just, I don't know what his deal was. I don't even remember the guy's name. Doesn't even matter. But basically he went out on and used his forum to basically sort of intimate that the pregame or, you know, ritual of Blackhawks fans to stand and cheer and yell and scream and hoot and holler during the national anthem, he felt was a bit disrespectful. Okay, that was basically his thing. Now, of course, Blackhawks fans hearing that get very upset. Okay. I don't know why they know, you know, they feel that they're upset, or if they even know why they're upset, but they just get upset because they feel like they're being attacked by the Detroit Red Wing, you know, nation. All right. Well, I know that the guy from BlackhawkUp.com went on, and thank God that I did not do this, but he went on Fox and Friends, which is some show on Fox News Network or something like that. At 5 o'clock in the morning, he went on there, and they did this mini debate, which lasted like 3 minutes. But basically, it was like point counterpoint with the Detroit guy saying that it's disrespectful and it's unpatriotic, and you know the Blackhawks person saying it's not disrespectful and it is patriotic. Now, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I mean, and it wasn't just the Blackhawks Up guy. I mean, it's other things that I've read and I've heard people, you know, people say it. Like, first of all, if you believe, or if you've convinced yourself to think that the pregame ritual, the playing of the national anthem and the hooting and the hollering and the screaming at the top of your lungs is in any way patriotic, you first have to understand where that ritual came from and what it's rooted in. And it absolutely has nothing to do with patriotism. It never did. And I know this because I was in that building at the time period when it started. And it started in the early to mid-80s. And the whole purpose behind it, It had nothing to do with patriotism. The national anthem was a backdrop for Blackhawks fans as the, you know, you call them the sixth attacker, whatever you want to call them. It was their opportunity to participate and get their players fired up and, in their minds, intimidate the opposing team. That's what it was. That's all it ever was. It had nothing to do with patriotism. It had nothing to do with Blackhawks fans loving their country. It had nothing to do with it. It never, ever had anything to do with that. It was about screaming and yelling and creating an atmosphere and getting the players pumped up and trying to intimidate the other team. I remember as a little kid, that's what people talked about. Like, you were encouraged to do this, and those were the reasons given. We got to pump the guy. It had nothing to do with it. The only reason, and you know, every single time, this is what Blackhawks fans, when they try to say it, you know, it's patriotic or you know, claim that it's not disrespectful or unpatriotic, they'll point back to the 1991 All-Star Game. Now, that afternoon, yeah, I mean, it was incredible time.
It was something more. I, like you, I was also in the building. That aspect of that day, that special afternoon, it was something different. Not on an 80s game.
Yeah, it was Desert Storm. It was a turbulent time. It was a very emotional time for the country, and it just so happened. I mean, that game could have been in Toronto, and Blackhawks fans would never. I mean, they wouldn't have this to fall back on anymore. But that it just so happened that All-Star game on that day, and that day is very, you know, it played a factor in it as well. That it wasn't the first response, but I mean it was on the heels of this, like I said, this emotional time, and it was there, and it was already something that happened. Like if the Blackhawks fans had never had, I mean, if that ritual wasn't in place, I don't see that happening. I mean, it wouldn't have been what it was. But it was in the Chicago Stadium. It was on that day. It just so happened. It was the perfect timing. Plus, the Chicago Stadium and the fans had this ritual of making a lot of noise during the anthem. And it just played out the way it did. And it was fantastic. And on that day, it was about patriotism. But there's a reason why the Blackhawks put out these you know, retired Army and Marine and Navy people and even active ones, they sit, you know, they stand them out there, they send them out onto center ice to stand next to Jim Cornelison. It's to sort of remind you that, you know, or sort of disguise it as, yeah, this is something patriotic, because it's not. It's part of the event. You know, if this was Blackhawks fans showing off their patriotism, wouldn't they be doing it at Wrigley Field, U.S. Cellular, and wouldn't they be doing it at Bulls games?
Yeah, absolutely.
But they don't do it. It's part of the experience. It's part of the event at the United Center for Blackhawks games. It has nothing to do with the flag. It has nothing to do with anything. Now, I will say this. Like, to each individual, it may mean something special. You know, whether you served in the armed forces, whether you lost someone in the armed forces, of course, to each individual, it may hold some, you know, that moment, that feeling, because it is a. I'm not saying that it should be done away with. I'm not saying it's disrespectful. I don't think anything like that. I personally don't cheer during the anthem, but that's just me. I never have. I think it's kind of silly, but I also would say that it's an incredible feeling, and I wouldn't want to have it seen done away with. I hate people. Like, I'm often a superstar.
You don't mind the actual act. You just want to make sure that people who are performing the act know why they're doing it.
Yeah, or at least be self-aware of what's going on. I mean, don't kid yourself, because I look around. Again, I just observe people while they're doing it, and a lot of people are looking at the flag while they do it, but a lot of people are also staring off into space, looking at their friend and cheering and whistling, or looking for a camera. That's also going on. I'm often accused, Superstar, of being, from time to time, being cynical.
Shocking.
You know, but I just don't think that you can't, and you know, this is something that, off topic, but Conan O'Brien, okay, this is another thing that really pisses me off. It pisses me off. It just really annoys me. Conan O'Brien. Like, I love the Conan O'Brien show. I think he's terrific. I think he's funny. But on Conan O'Brien's last show, his farewell speech, he sort of, and this, for coming from a comedian, this was hilarious. But he sort of, like, decried people of being cynical. You know, which is quite ironic coming from a comedian.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just absurd to me. Like, Conan O'Brien would, I guess what he's saying is he wants you to, as an individual, to take everything at face value, to not question anything. If someone tells you something, then that's just the way it is. You don't ask questions. You don't have thoughts of your own. You just take it for what it is. That's what Conan O'Brien, I guess, is telling you. Because he had a whole, you know, nation of people that had, you know, that didn't understand why he was taken out of the 10:30 slot and why he was being pushed out. Because the fact of the matter is, I think his show is better than Jay Leno. I would never watch Jay Leno. But the fact of the matter is, Conan O'Brien didn't produce at 10:30, and that's why he lost his show. You can't feel sorry for him. It wasn't unfair. He didn't produce ratings. Is it because that his show, you know, didn't fit in the 10:30 time slot? You know, that's probably what it was. He didn't adjust to that audience. 11:30 is different than 10:30, and he didn't adjust, and he didn't fit there. He didn't belong, and that's why he lost his time slot. It's not unfair, and you shouldn't feel sorry for a guy who got a $35 million payoff, because that's what America is. You fail, and you get paid off a lot of money. Like, why are we feeling sorry for this guy that he failed at his job? He didn't produce ratings. He failed. And we feel sorry for him. That's why he wants you to take everything at face value, because if you look deeper and realize that in the end, all that matters is who produces, he didn't produce. So since he had a whole nation of people signing up for, you know, support Coco.
I'm in Coco Facebook groups all over the place.
Take everything at face value, because he was wrong. He wasn't wrong. He failed at his job, and instead of going back to 11:30 where he belonged, they knew that he was going to quit. But, I mean, instead of going back to where he could produce, he quit.
The thing that bothered me about the after effect and all that going on, if he got a 10% of those people who signed up for this group and that group and support him to actually watch his show, he would have been producing.
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody watched the Conan O'Brien show until they learned that Conan O'Brien wasn't going to be on the air anymore. So everyone caught it while it lasted. You know, I watched, and again, I wasn't an ad, you know, I didn't watch it all the time. You know, I wasn't an avid follower of his, but I would catch it from time to time, and I would watch it. But, you know, I watched the first couple of weeks, maybe week or week and a half of it when it first went on, or, you know, at 10:30, and it just was an awkward show to me. I didn't think it was that great, so I stopped watching. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, he's getting screwed, Leno's, you know, screwing somebody else again, and it's like, well, I'll watch it, and it was funny because he was, you know, he was pouting on the air and he's ripping everybody, you know, but he didn't produce, and he's going to go somewhere else, and they're going to put him at 10:30, and he's going to fail there too. But he'll have his.
I would love to get paid $38 million to fail.
Yeah, but take everything at face. Don't be cynical.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Just because you know, some, you know, Blackhawk fan or, you know, writer will tell you, oh, this is patriotic, and you know. No, it's not. There's nothing to do with it. I mean, it's a part of the event. That's what it is. It's a part of the show, the entertainment package. It's part of what John McDonough is selling. John McDonough is selling fake patriotism, and he knows it. That's why they amplify the noise so it's even louder. That's why they stick the arm, you know, the retired vets and some, you know, some people that are on leave, they stick them out there on center ice. So you cheer even louder because they're out there. It's fake patriotism is what it is. It's part of the event. It's part of the show. That's what it is.
You're not going to get you're not going to get a dispute out of me on this one.
Like I said, I'm not saying that it's wrong, you know, that the act of it is wrong. It's not. I think it's a terrific experience. It's amazing when it's really, really loud, like the March 5th game against Vancouver. Yesterday was pretty loud, but not as quite as that game. You know, a couple of the games in the Vancouver and in the Calgary series last spring. It's exhilarating when it's like that, like it was at the old stadium. You know, the hair stands up on the back of your neck and your arms when it's going on. It's an amazing feeling. It's just part of the experience. People are hollering, screaming, and yelling just to do it. They pay and they run to their seats to get to see the anthem so they can, you know, they can enhance the experience. It's all it is. It's nothing to do with the national anthem. All right, so the Blackhawks tomorrow night in Dallas, possibly the last time Mike Modano will play a game against the Chicago Blackhawks, the great career of Mike Modano. Mike Modano in the news a little bit last couple of days, being linked to an ownership group rumored to have Brett Hull and Wayne Gretzky interested in buying the Dallas Stars. Mike Modano claims that it's a bunch of horse manure. But that was a story that was going around.
I didn't hear that story, but yeah, it's what a great career that guy had.
I mean, just amazing. I mean, that wrist shot of his. I mean, there's two guys in the last 20 years, wrist shots are just out of this world, and that's Joe Sakic and Mike Modano. And it was good to see Mike Modano, you know, sort of tailed off towards the middle of the season and towards the end. But I mean, he was rolling there pretty good for a little while, and it was good to see. He hasn't hinted. I mean, like Keith Tkachuk. I mean, he's basically Keith Tkachuk will play in his 1200th game tonight. He actually did game number 1200 for Keith Tkachuk. But, yeah, Keith Tkachuk has all but said that this is it. At least he's having people hint that for him, like Eddie Olczyk on the Versus broadcast last Tuesday.
Do you think Keith Tkachuk is a Hall of Famer?
Well, see, here's the thing. If he's not, then Roenick's not. If he is, then Roenick is. Because their careers are remarkably similar. But neither of them won a damn thing.
It's an interesting question. I can tell by your pause.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Modano, yeah.
Obviously. Oh, Modano for sure. Modano's a lock.
Yeah, first ballot for Modano. Roenick might have a little bit of trouble getting in because of people taking his, you know, his persona and you know the entertainment value of Roenick the wrong way, because hockey fans, you know, they don't want anyone to see their sport, you know, so don't try to be crazy or have charisma or anything, because hockey fans will not like that. And Tkachuk had his moments too. And you got to understand, like the best years of his his career were spent in Winnipeg and Phoenix, you know.
Right, exactly.
But and we should follow up on what we were talking about last week. It does appear as though that, even though it's not set in stone, but the city of Glendale has agreed to make certain concessions. They haven't proposed their, you know, their form of a new lease agreement, or at least I guess they're going to form a couple and hand them over to the NHL and the prospective buyers, which includes Ice Edge, who, according to Gary Bettman, had an intent to purchase, but they appear all but out now, and it's Jerry Reinsdorf and whoever his partner is. But again, I mean, even if the city of Glendale comes and proposes a lease, the NHL can still walk on June 30th. No matter if they come up with a great lease or not, the NHL can still walk. There's nothing tying the Coyotes because of the bankruptcy proceedings. There's nothing tying the Coyotes to Phoenix past, you know, the end of this season, unless they let that June 30th deadline pass. Then they're standing there. But, yeah, that's about it. So then on Wednesday night, the St. Louis Blues are in town, and, you know, and the
Chris
Blackhawks,
UA.
Blackhawks in Colorado for probably Cristobal Huey. And then Sunday, the Detroit Red Wings are in town. For,
what do you think of that matchup? I mean, by then, it's you know, everything will be pretty much settled. And
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it could be positioning, you know. Who play, you know, it could come down to who plays who on that night. Like we said, I mean, the Red Wings have a game in hand on Nashville. They're behind them 2 points, so if... You know, if it comes down to that game and the Red Wings are, you know, a win will, you know, either means that they play Phoenix or if they lose, they play Vancouver. What do you think they want to do? Actually, it's an interesting dilemma because you're either going to play, I mean, either one of them, you're starting on the road, but you're either going to face Roberto Luongo or you're going to face Ilya Bryzgalov. I say that they want to play Phoenix.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because even with Bryzgalov and the thing, you know, the element and the phony part of that Phoenix Coyote record, and you know that the streak that they've been on to get them to where they are is a lot of shootout damage, and you know it's a team that doesn't score a lot and they've won a lot of games in the shootout. Plus, when you're one of your best scores or your top scores is Radim Vrbata. I mean, you know that Radim Vrbata is going to disappear when the games get, you know, get tight and a lot more physical. Radim Vrbata is going to disappear. So I don't see the Phoenix Coyotes winning. I don't even care who they play. They're one and out. And Shane Doan isn't scoring. I mean, Shane Doan's been 2 months since Shane Doan scored a goal. So yeah, I don't think the Coyotes are long for this season, and maybe not even for Phoenix. But yeah, I don't know. I think if they can vault Nashville on that day, they'll play everybody. And I don't know that the Blackhawks can really afford to go in, you know, the three games that they play beforehand, maybe it'll tell a different story, but I don't think that the Blackhawks can afford to go into the postseason on any sort of pickup. I think they need to play straight through and focus and play as well as they can to go into the playoffs on a good, strong, confident note. And especially with Niemi, I think you got to play your best in front of that guy for all of the reasons that we've outlined in the past couple of shows, and even before that, you know, he needs to go in with the ultimate confidence in every sense of the, you know, the word. But all right, so I'll figure out when we're going to have a show next week. It'll either be Monday or Tuesday because the playoffs will start on Wednesday, and we're not going to do it on Wednesday. But either Monday or Tuesday, we'll figure it out. And I guess that's it, Superstar. So say goodbye to the
people. Goodbye, people.
All right. Yeah, so next week, blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin, and also on thethirdmanin.com and iTunes by going into the iTunes store, the podcast section, and just say or type in Third Man In Radio, Third Man In, or just my name, and I guess you'll get right there. But anyway, next week then, for Chris Block and the Superstar, we are signing off, and we'll talk to everybody next time. Good night, everybody.
In the house tonight.